From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. It's Rick Santorum in Mississippi and Alabama. He's won primaries in both states, a surprise to those who predicted Southern native son Newt Gingrich would win or presumed Mitt Romney was the front runner and would prevail despite his unfamiliarity with the region. Newt Gingrich came in second, Romney third. Santorum reiterates that in the face of Romney's millions of dollars of ad spending, his has been and is a grassroots campaign.
Who would have ever thought in the age of media that we have in this country today, that ordinary folks from across this country can defy the odds day in, day out?
Romney says his campaign continues to accumulate the most delegates, which is true, and he's optimistic about clinching the Republican presidential nomination.
States' delegates are lining up behind this campaign to take America back.
Romney's encouraging his supporters to focus now on contests in Missouri and Illinois. Organized labor is vowing to do its part to help President Obama win re-election. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the 12-million-member AFL-CIO has formally endorsed Mr. Obama in Florida.
The union endorsement was not in doubt. Organized labor is a pillar of the Democratic base. But unions have been feeling the pressure of a slow economy and Republican efforts to limit collective bargaining rights. The union, representing state and local government workers, has lost some 50,000 members to layoffs. Secretary Treasurer Lee Saunders says the other 1.6 million members will be working hard for Mr. Obama.
I think our people are more mobilized than they have been in a long, long time, and we're going to be ready for the fight.
Republican Mitt Romney has been outspoken in criticizing those he calls union stooges. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
A bus crash in Switzerland has killed 28 people, almost all of them children. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports most of the victims were Belgian students returning from a skiing holiday.
Police say 22 of the dead are 10 and 12-year-olds from two different Belgian schools. They'd spent the last week at a ski camp in the Swiss Alps and were returning to Belgium when their bus apparently hit a curb and crashed into a concrete wall inside a tunnel. Another 24 children were injured, several seriously. Six adults, including two drivers, were also killed. Police are investigating but say the bus was nearly new, that traffic was light in the two-lane tunnel, and conditions were normal at the time of the crash. Belgian Prime Minister Elio De Rupo called it an extremely sad day for all of Belgium. He'll fly to the crash site later today with victims' families. Eric Westervelt, NPR News.
Defense Secretary Leon Panetta is in Afghanistan on a previously unannounced visit. At Camp Leatherneck today, he encouraged troops to pursue the mission of securing the country from al-Qaeda as concerns mount over the killings of 16 Afghan civilians, officials believe by a U.S. soldier. This is NPR News. China is warning of a backlash as the world's three other big economies bring a trade case against it over rare earths. As NPR's Frank Langfitt reports from Shanghai, China denies hoarding the valuable metals which are used in everything from hybrid cars to missiles.
The United States, the European Union, and Japan say China refuses to export enough rare earths so it can keep prices down for its own manufacturers and force international companies to move operations here. China calls the case, which goes before the World Trade Organization, quote, unfair and unreasonable. Xinhua, China's state-run news agency, said the government's policy of limiting rare earths was partly driven by concerns over mining pollution. China accounts for nearly 90% of global rare earths production. In 2010, China cut off rare earth exports to Japan for nearly 2 months after a Chinese boat rammed two Japanese Coast Guard vessels. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Shanghai.
Part of Boston's Back Bay and nearby neighborhoods are without electricity. It was shut off after a big transformer fire. Bianca Vasquez-Tonas of member station WBUR says acrid smoke was a big concern.
People were evacuated and went home, you know, holding their shirts and their sweaters over their nose and mouths because there was this foul, black, thick smoke billowing into the air. And at the time, police were telling people that it was toxic and that they should leave the area as soon as possible. Now they're saying that, it wasn't really toxic.
Bianca Vasquez-Tonas there of member station WBUR in Boston. Officials say power will be restored using generators after a damage assessment. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.